And then the leaves of the woad tree, an ancient tree, the woad tree, yields a blue dye for coloring and so on, which is to give off a dye. This was also born at that place. All of these were to prove very beneficial to mankind in time to come. Numerous natural gems and precious stones, tradition also notes this, that numerous natural gems, not other gems we're talking about, but natural gems, which are precious stones, were also born from their tears. All of this happened, however, through the power and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not their own power. But well, these were the first essential spices and basic necessities that they would need for their children. Up till today, up till this day, many of these things are used, like nutmeg and clove, are used as basic in the growing up of children for many illnesses of children and so on. Mothers use these for growing up. And of course, later on, as they grow, then for the women folk, henna is used and collyrium is used, and of course the other things that I've mentioned, the woad tree, dye. Of course, now it has developed to many, many new forms and many things, but initially these were their natural uses. Hawa was shown by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam how to use henna, and of course she was shown how to use collyrium, and she was shown afterwards how to create dye and to manufacture dye. And Adam alayhi salam was shown the uses of the date palm that became one of the early foods of mankind, and how to use clove and nutmeg when Hawa complained to him about children having fever or cold and so on. They learnt its early uses, so they were shown by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Anyway, let's proceed. On a certain day, Jibreel alayhi salam came to Adam alayhi salam and explained to him the performance of Hajj. Adam was then asked to go for Hajj before he died, before he dies. The mention of death brought fear to Adam. Adam alayhi salam, when Jibreel alayhi salam spoke to him and explained to him that one day you will have to die, O Adam, and before you die, Allah instructs me, Allah commands and orders me to inform you that you must go and journey in a certain direction, and you must go this way as I will show you, and you must go and perform Hajj. The mention of death brought fear to Adam, and he arose from his lengthy bereavement to prepare for Hajj, as had been indicated to him by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Towns and villages were to grow along the route that Adam took towards Makkah Mukarramah, and cities were to grow at the places where he rested. Certain places where he rested, huge cities grew up in those places, and we are informed through tradition that in the places along the route which he walked, many villages came eventually through his children, because that annual pilgrimage, that became an annual thing. And along that route from Persia to Makkah Mukarramah, the route that he took, important and major cities, towns and villages were eventually to arise. On arrival there, Adam alayhi salam was greeted by a multitude of angels who told him that they had been performing tawaf of the Kaaba for 2,000 years. At that time, Hajj consisted of only tawaf of the Kaaba. And after performing Hajj of the house of Allah Ta'ala, Adam went to rest on Jabal-e-Rahma on the plain of Arafat. We also come to know the significance of Jabal-e-Rahma, and of course the plain of Arafat, on the plain of Arafat, Jabal-e-Rahma, which is in the center of the plain of Arafat. There Adam alayhi salam went to rest. Here we can also see that a period of 2,000 years has lapsed from the time that Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam has been brought down to earth by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. 40 years he spent in weeping and so on, and after that, of course, he and his wife Hawa were separated. Of course, she had to make a living, he had to make a living, and so on. And of course, when we talk about plants growing here and plants growing there, these plants eventually, over a passage of time, spread. You know how the fertilization process takes place, wind and climate and so on carries them about. And of course, these plants and other plants that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started flourishing. I was asked a very interesting question last week at the end of the lesson. One of the brothers asked, was the world created, and nature, environment, forests, green, things that are in this world to be found, the jungles and the forests, were these in existence prior to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam coming down to earth? Yes, brothers, this world, earth, was completed, created and completed in its complete form prior to man being sent down to earth. When it was ready for man to occupy it, then of course man was. Do remember also and bear in mind that for a long time, could be millions of years prior to man being sent down to Adam and Hawa being brought down to earth, prior to that, this earth could be for eons, which means for millions or even billions of years, was occupied by the jinns. And dynasty after dynasty of jinns had lived on earth as believers and as disbelievers. When that came to an end, when their reign on earth terminated by the will and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it was the turn of man to occupy earth. So earth was formed, earth was designed, and earth was completed, its creation, I mean, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, long before Adam and Hawa came down to occupy earth. Alright? So this was, there were many. But these few plants I'm talking about and other things, of course, these came later. And we know that even the olive was to come later when Adam alayhi salam, which part we are not going to go into, olive was came down much later as a result of Adam alayhi salam's skin infection and skin drying and so on. Then Jibreel alayhi salam brought this down. But that comes much later. Let's continue from here onwards. Adam alayhi salam has performed Hajj, and Hajj was only 7 times making tawaf of the Baytullah. And in this 2000 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent down angels. So from the time that the Kaaba came into existence in this world, and this is from the beginning of time, then already continuous tawaf was being made. And since there was no man to make tawaf of the Baytullah, malaikas were performing. The moment Adam alayhi salam arrived at his destination to perform Hajj, malaikas came, embraced him, greeted him, and they said, this was what we were engaged in, performing tawaf of the Baytullah, and now you may continue. And that is the time when the angels returned to the Bayt al-Ma'mur, which is in the 7th heaven, the Kaaba of the angels of the malaikas, which is directly above the Kaaba that is on the earth, the Kaaba of humanity, of human beings, of mankind, of believers. Directly above it in the center, on the same pivot and the same range in the 7th heaven is the Kaaba, where the malaikas are engaged in tawaf all the time, and this one is on earth. Whilst resting here, his mind kept thinking of Hawa. He is resting, who? Adam is resting on Jabal Rahma, and his mind keeps, where is my Hawa? Obviously, we can understand and appreciate his concern. And he felt lonely and lost without her here on earth. Eating the forbidden fruit still haunted him, and the loss of life in Jannah was not easy to forget. Yet Adam accepted the divine decree of Allah Ta'ala with a submission, and he believed in his taqdeer, in his fate, as it was destined and ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he rested here and his mind wandered over various matters of fate and destiny, he saw Hawa alayhi salam approaching Arafat from the side of Jeddah. He rubbed his eyes to make sure that it was her that he was seeing. And then with tears of joy streaming down their cheeks, Adam, the father of man, and Hawa alayhi salam, alayhum assalam, the mother of man, were reconciled in an ardent embrace. They embraced one another, ran towards one another and embraced one another. Adam alayhi salam carried Hawa alayhi salam, brought her to Jabal Rahma, and of course you can imagine this joint meeting of the two. This scene was a heart-rending one. Their joy was immense. Each one drew strength from the other. They had missed one another terribly, not even knowing where the other one was for a long period. So this meeting of the two was a very jubilant one, and thus this place became known as Arafat, the place of meeting, the place of knowing. Their joy and happiness was shared by the malaikas in the heavens. The angels praised and glorified Allah Ta'ala for bringing the two of them together again. In a tradition, we are told that the joy of the malaikas and their happiness was expressed in the heavens by glorifying, praising Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Adam was so overjoyed at meeting his Hawa, alayhi salam, that he raised his eye heavenwards to thank and to praise and to glorify Allah Ta'ala for his good fortune. He was shown in a vision. Adam is now shown. Adam alayhi salam was then shown in a vision, inscribed on the throne of Allah Ta'ala the words, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad ar-Rasulullah. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah Ta'ala. You know, brothers, you find these frames that we have, La ilaha kalima ritman, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad ar-Rasulullah. Where did man get this idea from? On the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Adam alayhi salam saw in a vision these words also written on the throne. However, the throne, how majestic the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be, in a vision, Adam alayhi salam sees it, and he sees these words inscribed on the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These holy words inspired him, Adam, to say, O my sustainer, O my Rabb, through the blessing of this kalima. Listen to this very carefully, brothers. It is a key to for many of us. O my Rabb, says Adam, on seeing this inscription on the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O my Rabb, O my sustainer, through the blessing of this kalima and through the blessing of the name attached to your name on this kalima, O Allah, accept our repentance and forgive us our sins. No sooner had Adam uttered these words than Jibreel alayhi salam arrived, saying to Adam alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala sends you salams, and Allah Ta'ala informs you that had you made a similar dua in Jannah, then you would not have been sent down to earth. The barakah of this kalima, brothers. The power of this kalima. Obviously, Adam alayhi salam was not reminded of this, was not inspired with this. This revelation was not given to him because of the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows, and I've explained last week why. Man had to come down to earth because man was created as the Khalifa of Allah Ta'ala on earth, not in heaven. I've clearly told you that. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not remind or inspire Adam alayhi salam with these words in Jannah. You and I, however, have a great lesson to learn from this, and that lesson is how great and powerful is the kalima, and how great and powerful is the name attached to that of Allah, of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's see this dua, because brothers, if you use this dua when you are having a very serious problem and you make a dua like this, I assure you, if it comes from the bottom of your heart and it is sincerely made, you will find a way out. Allah will find a way out. Here it is. O my Rabb, O my sustainer. Duas don't have to be made in Arabic if you don't know. Dua is a cry of the heart. All languages are understood by Allah Ta'ala. Sincerity is involved. O my Rabb, through the blessing of this kalima and through the blessing of the name attached to yours on this kalima. We of course won't say it. We will say through the barakah of the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Accept our repentance and forgive us our sins. O Allah, accept my tawbah and make me ma'af. Simple words, O Allah. And I assure you that you will find definitely through the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming out of whatever you are in difficulty with. Note, such is the power of this kalima and such is its meaning and its impact when applied correctly and sincerely. Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam were meant for earth, however, and this is why they did not remember or were neither inspired by Allah Ta'ala towards reciting it in Jannah. Allah Ta'ala is the best of planners, and everything that happens and has happened is by His design and by His plan. We proceed now to what transpired to the parents of mankind after their meeting on Arafat. Both of them performed Hajj. After this meeting, Adam and Hawa, Adam alayhi salam leading her by the hand and telling her, look, this is what we must do, this is what we must do, this is how Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam has showed me to perform tawaf of the Kaaba and so on. So both of them thereafter went, and in their happiness, as a mark of their gratitude and their thanks, making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they went and they performed Hajj, which involved tawaf of the Kaaba, by going from Arafat to Makkah Mukarramah. From there they proceeded to the valley of Nu'man. Wadi al-Nu'man is a valley near Makkah, as directed by Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam was then ordered by Allah ta'ala to massage the back of Adam with his wings. Listen to this very carefully. We're going to end off just now with today's lesson. What has happened now? Hajj has been, the two have met, Jabal Rahma on Arafat. They have now gone and performed Hajj, Tawaf. Jibreel alayhi salam goes to them and tells them that Allah Ta'ala orders you to come with me, and I'm going to take you to the Wadi Nu'man, which is a valley, a place not far from Makkah, and they are both of them led there to Makkah. When they arrive there, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is then commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take his wings and to massage the back of Adam alayhi salam with his wings. We know, of course, that Jibreel alayhi salam does have wings in his original shape. How do we know that? From the Quran. What does the Quran say? The Quran says very explicitly that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel alayhi salam in the heavens. In a hadith we learn, that is in Quran, the mention that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did see Jibreel in his original shape and form in the heavens. In the hadith we are informed that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam so vast, so gigantic in stature, in size, in proportion, that the one wing spread from the center of the universe and covered the entire east. The other wing covered the entire west. Subhanallah. We can never understand how huge the malaikas are. So, with the wings, of course, probably reduced. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam was then ordered by Allah Ta'ala to massage the back of Adam alayhi salam with his wings. As he stroked the back of Adam alayhi salam gently, there issued forth from his back, or from his loins, his entire posterity, all the children of Adam, which would come into the world until the end of time, until the day of judgment. Subhanallah, brothers, I will explain little further on. Nothing is impossible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To take an old man and to produce from an old couple a child is very much possible and very easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mention of that is in the Quran. We don't want to go into details. So for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything is possible. If Allah can produce and create man from clay, to produce anything from nothing, very easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So listen to what I'm saying now. I told you, referring to many, many ahadiths. I don't want to mention each one of them separately. Jibreel alayhi salam, Wadi al-Nu'man, Adam alayhi salam is there, Hawa alayhi salam is there. The wings of Jibreel alayhi salam rub gently on the command of Allah Ta'ala, the back of Adam alayhi salam. And from the loins of Adam alayhi salam issue forth, by the grace, the power, the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, issue forth entire humanity, all the children of Adam, the whole posterity of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, every son, every daughter of Adam alayhi salam, until the day of judgment appear. Generation after generation issued forth from his and his posterity's loins, and these were arranged in rows, all this by the power and the command of Allah ta'ala. Here the Quran Pak mentions from Adam and the children of Adam. So do understand and appreciate. Adam alayhi salam's children appear forth, and from the loins of the children of Adam alayhi salam, generation after generation, as the children were issued forth. So do understand me correctly. Adam alayhi salam, his children from his loins. his grandchildren from the loins of his children, and so forth and so on. Please get the picture straight. And all are set in safs. This is still coming in the hadith, but I'm giving you an idea. All right? Adam's children. Adam, all the children, and there were many, many children that Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam had. All their children are arranged. And then from the backs of Adam's children come his grandchildren. And so forth and so forth, and it goes on and on and on. And they were arranged in rows, in distinctive ranks. Mankind, with the soul and bodies. You're going to find this all very difficult to swallow, but they're coming one after the other. And I had given you a clear warning that you must be prepared for the hadiths to flow one after the other. Now the next step. One is all the posterity of Adam have now appeared. And you have understood. From the back of Adam, from the back of the children of Adam, from the back of the grandchildren of Adam, and so forth, generation and generation until the end of time. All of them now are arranged in ranks, distinctively arranged. Now we go to the next step. Mankind, with the soul and with bodies, but tiny tots, like small particles, which the hadith describes as ant size, were thus assembled before Allah Ta'ala and before Adam alayhi salam. And they were endowed with understanding, with reasoning by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels and the celestial creations of Allah Ta'ala, meaning the heavens and the earth, were also assembled and brought to witness an event about to take place now. In other words, the scene is being prepared for a memorable occasion. The valley was filled with row upon row of mankind in minute form, or rather in miniature shape. And this by the power and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by His mercy and by His compassion. Adam alayhi salam looked on at this scene and this what was occurring in surprise. And Jibra'il, Adam alayhi salam, addresses himself to Jibra'il alayhi salam, who was a companion of all the messengers of Allah Ta'ala. Oh Jibra'il, who are they? Who are all these coming out of rope? See, when his task was complete and from his back his children had been drawn, and this scene continued, and he watched in amazement mankind in their millions and billions issuing forth, and all being ranked in divisions and ranks. So he asked Jibra'il, oh Jibra'il, who are they? Asked Adam inquiringly. These are your children, Jibreel al-Islam replied. These are your children, your progeny, all of them, replied Jibreel. They are so many, such a vast multitude. How will so many settle on earth? Inquired Adam. Note, remember that entire mankind was present here in the Wadi Nauman. Every son and every daughter of Adam and Hawa, and this ran into countless millions. The rest of Allah's creation were also present as witnesses to this, the swearing-in ceremony of mankind. Man was of a tiny frame, and this event of covenant-taking was to be recorded for posterity. In response to this question of Adam, a sound was heard, and the sound is as follows. Sound meaning divine voice. The divine voice of Allah Ta'ala was heard as follows. O Adam, I have made it. When Adam asked Jibreel, oh Jibreel, so many. I mean, how are all of this going to occupy earth? Adam naturally sees that they are in miniature shape, small size, the size of ants. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by the Sahaba Akram, Ya Rasulullah, how did this take place? Then Adam, all the children of Adam, in this way, assembled all together in the Wadi Numan. Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to Sahaba Akram that they were, how must I tell you, they were the size of ants. To give them an idea how all of this, the children of Adam, entire posterity could be assembled in one valley. But here we are. In response, when Adam asked Jibreel, oh Jibreel, all of this, how can they all occupy earth? I mean, how are they going to live? What are they going to eat? And so forth and so on. This is what he asked Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. The exact question, oh Jibreel, who are they? And then of course, he is informed they are your progeny. Then he said, there are so many, such a vast multitude, how will they all settle down on earth? In response to this question, a divine voice or the divine sound was heard of Allah Ta'ala saying, O Adam, I have made its arrangement from afore. In other words, from before. I have made its arrangement from afore. Somewhat puzzled, Adam alayhi salam asked, Ya Rabbul Alameen, O Sustainer of the Universe, what is this arrangement, if I may ask? The Divine Voice replied, Some of mankind, some will be in the loins of their fathers, some in the wombs of their mothers, some will live on the surface of the earth, while others will be buried below it. Unquote. This is the sound and the voice to reply. Now let's understand this particular saying. Thereby, Adam understood the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The unborn souls of man, the unborn spirits, man unborn yet, would be kept in a spiritual dimension by Allah ta'ala, preserved in a spiritual dimension by Allah ta'ala. Those to be born in the loins and the wombs of their parents. Those already born would live on earth. They would occupy earth. They would inhabit earth. And the dead, in their millions and millions, and the dead people, the deceased, all of them would be buried. They would be below the earth. This is how Adam alayhi salam understood it. In this way, entire humanity, as assembled on that illustrious day, would not all live together in the world at one and the same time, but they would be spread out over a lengthy period, and they would appear over many generations. So mankind would appear over generations and generations in the world. Note also that the casting of man in ant-sized physical shape with all his faculties for the purpose of covenant taking. And by this is meant entire humanity from the beginning to the end of time is no ridiculous or far-fetched assertion. If Allah Ta'ala can develop an adult from a zygote, meaning the product of fusion of sperm and egg to form an embryo in the womb, which then grows into a fetus. And if Allah Ta'ala can create man from clay, create sperm and egg out of clay. You know that clay or sand or earth is a dead substance. Merely by giving you an example, because you may be wondering, how is this possible? Then I have a few questions for you to think over and to understand how such a thing is possible. Merely to take your mind on a certain point to show you nothing is impossible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all these events that are described in the Quran and commented upon in the Ahadith, all of these are possible, they have taken place, and they are not beyond the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then I want to ask a few questions to you, because these you will understand better. And they are as follows. Then we'll go back to the story. If Allah Ta'ala can develop an adult from a zygote, and you know what a zygote is? It is so tiny. When man is born, he is so tiny that it is a sperm seed. That seed is almost impossible to see under a microscope. So tiny, so little is it. It is described as a zygote. But that little tiny seed, the product is the product of fusion of sperm and egg. Of course, the sperm of the male and the egg of the female. To form an embryo, that zygote, as a result of this fusion, when the sperm and the egg fuse, it forms an embryo in the womb of the mother, and then that embryo then grows into a fetus. And of course, after that, the shape takes place. How does the shape take place? As follows. Allah Ta'ala creates from clay. The sperm comes from clay. All right? Then from that clay comes sperm and egg out of clay. Then take sperm and egg and they form a clot. Then from that clot comes flesh. Then from the flesh comes bones. Then the bones are covered with flesh. And thence a child is produced in the womb of the mother. I'm asking you, what a wondrous and amazing 9 months in the birth of a child this is. And 9 months is a normal period of pregnancy. Then I ask you, what difficulty is there for such a creator as Allah to present all of humanity in one instance for the ceremony of covenant taking, the Ahad? The miracle of birth from conception to delivery is but one example of the power and kudra of Allah Ta'ala. We are surrounded with countless millions of miracles all around us, in the creation of which no human hand and no human mind has been involved. Now let me give you an example of human ingenuity and inventiveness in the field of technology, to make it easier for you to understand how entire humanity could have been assembled in miniature size. On the field of Nu'man, or in the Wadi of Nu'man, in the valley of Nu'man, in the vale of Nu'man, on that particular day, in the history of mankind, in the history of creation, you are aware that a microchip or a micro dot contains, that means it can retain and keep in its memory, hundreds of thousands and even hundreds of thousands of pieces of information which have been fed into it and which can be easily recalled. My question to you is, how much space does this micro dot or microchip take up? Would you understand me if I tell you that this world is much smaller than a microchip to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This world and all that it contains, the seven earths and the seven heavens, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator and sustainer of all, it is smaller than that microchip, that little microchip. This world, this entire universe, the whole creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you yourself are aware what a small proportion of this universe is planet Earth. Nothing. All of this is smaller, many millions of times smaller than the smallest microchip that man can ever discover and will ever discover. That is Allah. Do you remember me telling you that all the people of this world, this entire earth, appears in front of Malak al-Maut as if everything is on a tray, so that all of mankind are easily accessible to him? And this I described to you in our series on life after death. And then brothers can remember, the question was raised, how is it possible Malak al-Maut can be here in one end of the earth and in another end? Brothers, this whole, in the hadith we are informed that this whole world for Malak al-Maut is as if it's on a tray. He just picks wherever he wants. Wherever he gets a command from Allah Ta'ala, that one has to die, and that one's time is up, and that one's time is up. For Malak al-Maut, he just goes, it's a little tray, and he can see it. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this entire creation, entire universe, the seven earths, seven, and everything in it, just smaller than the smallest microchip. So now you must begin to understand and appreciate the fact that there is nothing which is impossible, and how easy it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have brought out and issued forth entire humanity from the loins of their fathers. Man, who is a product of Allah's creation, can make such astonishing inventions in the world. Allah ta'ala, therefore, as creator and maker of this entire universe, Allah, who is perfect, complete and absolute in every way, meaning incomparable, unrestricted and unrestrained, with no second, Allah has no advisor, Allah has no partner, Allah can present, according to His wish and command, entire humanity in a moment of time of His will and choosing, and in His choice of size and appearance, without becoming tired or strained at all by it all. So is our Creator, our Master and our Judge. We often understand the incredible capacity, the remarkable talent and outstanding endowment of man, but we easily misjudge the absolute power and kudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet all of us admit to the limitations of human power and to the infinite and boundless power of Allah ta'ala, which is to be perceived in all of creation. So stop having doubts and stop casting doubts in your mind. How else could all these have happened? I have told you, rub out of your mind, totally remove from your mind that everything is metaphorical and allegorical. There's no myth involved in all this. This is the reality of creation. And if you cannot understand it otherwise, don't put everything to metaphor. These are things that must have occurred, otherwise Quran would not have mentioned them. And I'm soon to recite to you ayat of the Quran and a hadith that I have narrated and drawn these from, to authenticate and corroborate what I am saying to you. Adam alayhi salam noticed that the human population was divided into ranks. Brothers, we'll end off just now. Adam al-Islam noticed that the human population was divided into ranks and divisions as they stood in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. So he said, O Allah, there are divisions among my children. Now remember what I said, that all the posterity of Adam, his children, as they were drawn out of the banks, all of them were in safs, arranged in groups or divisions. So Adam asked Allah Ta'ala now, O Allah, there are divisions amongst them. I see that they're all divided up. Allah Ta'ala said, there are among them, among your children, there are among them believers and disbelievers. There are rich and there are poor. And there are the happy and there are the distressed ones amongst them. Adam said, O Allah, how wonderful it would be if all of them were equal, if all my children were equal. Subhanallah, a father worrying about his children. Oh Allah, why must there be all these divisions, rich and poor and happy and distressed? Oh Allah, can't my children all be equal? Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala said, O Adam, I am pleased with those who offer me thanks. That is, who show their gratitude to me. In other words, those who make my shukr. I am pleased with them. Therefore, I have not made the contented to be distressed, or the wealthy to be beggars, or the obedient to be rebellious. Brothers, I'm going to end off there. There's a lengthy hadith coming up after this, and continuing with the with the discussion between a question by Adam alayhi salam to Allah Ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reply. Those that are following now are very, very serious and of great importance to us. So I will end off the lesson there. Ending off with, let us see, Allah Ta'ala replies, Adam alayhi salam asked, why all these divisions in my children? Why are not all of them equal, O Allah? Allah Ta'ala says, I am pleased with those who make my shukr. Therefore, I have not made the contented to be distressed, or the wealthy to be beggars, or the obedient to be rebellious. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Brothers,
al-Karim, amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. All thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker, our creator, our sustainer, and our judge. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expressing our iman and absolute belief in the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we send darood and salam, salutations, peace and blessings upon the beloved messenger of Allah ta'ala, the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, and upon his companions, the Sahaba Ikaram, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in. Our subject, Shaitan's Plan for Man, commenced with in the month, holy month of Ramadan of the year 1411 after the Hijrah. And we are continuing with that particular subject until we end with that in a few weeks' time, or within a few lessons. We have all performed Salatul Asr with Jama'ah. We are thankful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thankful that we have performed with Jama'ah, thankful that we are alive, thankful that we are in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have reached a point in the creation of man after having learned of the method whereby Shaitan has removed, expelled, had expelled Nabi Adam and Hawa alayhum as-salam from Jannah, his method and the various plans he adopted in order to have them expelled from Jannah. Prior to that, we learned how he himself and the reason why he was expelled from Jannah. This was followed up by the expulsion of Nabi Adam and Hawa alayhum as-salam from Jannah, his method and the various plans he adopted in order to have them expelled from Jannah. Prior to that, we learned how he himself and the reason why he was expelled from Jannah. This was followed up by the expulsion of Adam and Hawa alayhum as-salam from Jannah. We have read about their early existence on earth, the separation firstly, the lengthy period of bitterness and regret and remorse for having committed an act of disobedience to a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meeting between the two, the father of mankind and the mother of mankind, called Adam and Hawa alayhum as-salam, eventually meeting on the plain of Arafat near Makkah Mukarrama, thereafter traveling to Makkah, performing the Hajj, thereafter under instructions from Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam, traveling to a place, a valley near Makkah called Wadi Noman. And in this Wadi Noman, we learn of the occurrence of entire mankind, entire humanity, from the first to the last, emerging from the loins of their fathers. I explained there to you with an ayat of the Quran that this did not mean that all the children emerged purely from the loins, from the back of Adam alayhi salam, but generation by generation, each one emerged from his respective parent, from their fathers, from the loins of their fathers, the loins of their parents, the children emerged. And then each of them was assembled in ranks, in row upon row. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has described the size of those human beings that appeared in Wadi Noman by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the size of ants. That is his description. And last week during the final analysis, I explained to you how a microchip which man has discovered can contain thousands upon hundreds of thousands of pieces of information. Each piece of information can be drawn separately from it. When man can and has these qualities of inventiveness, of genius, then surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his creator, his maker, he definitely possesses greater qualities of creation. And thus it is possible for us to accept this explanation, for it comes from those pious lips which uttered the Kalamullah, the same lips out of which there never appeared any word of doubt or uncertainty. So we accept this explanation, and we accept that on that day a great testament and covenant was taken from humankind. The last paragraph I dealt with and explained to you last week in all this that we have been discussing, when entire humanity, mankind, was assembled before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam as the father of mankind, as the ambassador of mankind, and in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence. And Adam alayhi salam noticed that the human population was divided into ranks and divisions as they stood in the presence of Allah ta'ala. So he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, I see that there are divisions amongst my children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there are among them believers and disbelievers. Amongst your children you see them grouped, assembled in various ranks and divisions. You see them grouped in this way, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reveals Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, that among them are believers and disbelievers, there are rich and there are poor, and there are people that are happy and the happy people, and there are the distressed people. Adam alayhi salam said, O Allah, how wonderful this would, if it would be if all my children, if all of them were equal, of the same kind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereupon responded and revealed to Adam alayhi salam, O Adam, I am pleased with those who offer me thanks and show their gratitude to me. Therefore, I have not made the contented to be distressed or to be sorrowful, and I have not made the wealthy to be beggars, and I have not made the obedient to be disobedient and rebellious people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to Nabi Adam, or rather, informs Adam alayhi salam. Allah is not in need for explaining any of his action to humanity. But here is the parent of mankind, the one is who is going, entire humanity is going to be dependent on for their creation or procreation process. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does explain to Nabi Adam alayhi salam, as he taught language to Nabi Adam alayhi salam, as he gave ilm, knowledge unto Adam alayhi salam, and so many other faculties besides, and breathed into him of his ruh. So Adam alayhi salam informs, so Allah ta'ala informs Adam alayhi salam the reason why mankind is divided into ranks and divisions. Brothers, before I proceed with today's lesson, remember, this is a remarkable, profound statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We Muslims must accept that the policy and teaching of socialism and communism, therefore, is completely in contradiction to and in opposition to this explanation of our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. All men are not equal. All of mankind can never be equal. They will be rich, wealthy, and they will be poor. There will be beggars always amongst us, the needy, and so also the wealthy. There will be happy people and there will be sad people. These class distinctions in mankind is there to remain forever. Communism and socialism, which is a later development, communism basically started with the idea that all of mankind, as a result of economic forces, can be all equal. All men can earn the same income, equal income, and therefore live along the same standard of life. It doesn't work that way. It has never worked, and the entire system over a short period has proved a failure. Now all of a sudden in South Africa, I see so many of us, especially amongst our Muslims also, espousing the cause of socialism and communism. What fools they are. And let's proceed now. After this exchange of words between the Creator, Allah Ta'ala, and the created, the command of Allah Ta'ala was sounded out for mankind to arise and to form straight safs, straight rows from east to west. Look, one was the grouping, all right? Now, you know, like you are seated here. You are seated here scattered around this masjid. But if iqamat goes, then immediately you come and you form safs. Similarly, on that day, there also a similar event took place. Can you see how the actions of salah, many of them date back to historical origins and sources, or rather divine ones, that on that particular day, entire humanity, by the command of Allah Ta'ala, think of Iqama. Allah's command is given, and the malaikas immediately tell mankind to form safs, rows from east to west. The whole of humanity stood up and immediately formed themselves into rows, into safs. All of mankind that stood on the right side of Adam alayhi salam were true believers, were mu'mineen. The entire first saf was occupied by the distinguished messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom we generally refer to as the prophets, and at their head was Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almost like we have in the masjid, the imam, then the first saf, and so on, and then the great and pious and learned people of Islam and the awliya and the ulama and so on, right? Amongst the first ranks after the anbiya-i karam, who do you think, whose rank would come after all the anbiyas? After the anbiyas would come the sahaba-i karam ridwan, correct? Sahaba-i karam ridwanullahi ta'ala. At the head and first in the row of the sahaba-i karam would be Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. Anyway, let's proceed. That also, those are all ahadith that have been separately explained, brothers. If we are going to go into the full context of this, it will not be in this series of lessons on Shaitan's plan for man. That is a lesson which I am preparing for the future, and that is called the signs of Yawmul Qiyamah and Akhirah, the story of Akhirah. Let's continue now. So, line of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, all of them are the mu'mineen, salihin, mukhlisin, muttaqin. And the first saf is all the anbiyas, all the rasools. All those on the left side of Adam alayhi salam are unbelievers, are the kafirin. And their first row, the first row of the kafirin on the left hand side, was filled with the arrogant and the oppressive rulers of the world, the Hamans and the Faruns and the Fir'auns and all the other unbelievers and oppressive rulers. Though they fill the ranks on the left hand side, those are all the kuffars, the kafirin, munafiqin and mushrikeen. All of them fall under this title of kafirin. And their first row was filled with the arrogant and oppressive rulers of the world. Can you imagine what a fantastic scene this must have been? I say this because at this moment in time, each one of us has the choice of deciding where to place ourselves, in which section and in which group we want to be. We who are living in this world have the option to decide this matter. We can choose to be of the righteous and obedient followers of Allah Ta'ala and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or we can choose with our own minds, our own hands, our own limbs to be rebellious and to be disobedient with our hearts. We know what the result will be, for the picture has been very clearly painted for us. Entire humanity stood to attention on this auspicious occasion at the command of Allah Ta'ala, waiting to comply with whatever was demanded of them by their Creator. All of mankind stood to attention, believers as well as disbelievers, knowing that they had no other choice but to accede to the command of their Maker, that is Allah. Here they could see, and humanity could understand very, very clearly the might, the qudra, the power of Allah Ta'ala, that all power, all qudra belongs to Allah Ta'ala, and man is but a tiny, weeny creation of the omnipotent Allah. The realization, this realization was to be found in each of the children of Adam and Hawa alayhum as-salam. Mankind then heard, and heard very clearly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing mankind and asking them all this question, Alastu bi rabbikum? Alastu bi rabbikum? Am I not your Rabb? Am I not your Creator? Now the word Rabbia, all the synonyms for it. Am I not your Creator? Am I not your Cherisher? Am I not your Sustainer? Now in English we have to use all these words. Obviously in Arabic, if you say the word Rabb, then it is all these words are understood. In English you have to use about 10-15 different words to signify and to show you the meaning of the word Rabb. Rabb means to bring you up from the time you are born to the time that you die, to care for you, to cherish you, to sustain you, to provide for you, and so forth and so on. All those things, am I not your Rabb? Am I not the only one? That is also included. Tawheed is an inevitable part and a distinct part of the word Rabb. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by saying Alastu bi rabbikum, is asking of entire mankind, am I not your one Creator? Am I not one? Am I not your one God? Am I not the one who sustains you? Am I not the most powerful? And all those attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala included. And entire humanity replied, their answer was as follows, Qalu bala shahidna. Yes, we do bear witness. Qalu bala, yes, by all means. Yes, without a doubt. Shahidana, we all of us bear witness. Each one of us bears witness. Mankind's reply, all of us. Each individual replied, and then all of them taken collectively, shahidna in the plural form, Qalu bala shahidana, all entire humanity agreed and admitted, confessed, confirmed the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, is the most powerful and is the sustainer of all. All of humanity bore witness to the fact that Allah Ta'ala was without a doubt the one single, undivided and unassisted creator and sustainer of the entire universe, of the whole of creation. That they, mankind, also affirmed, confirmed and confessed to the fact that they would believe in, that they would depend solely on, and that they would place implicit trust in one Allah and never move away from this straight line. The word bala used in the Quran as a reply that humanity gave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates the absolute certainty with which mankind testified to the undivided unity and omnipotency of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Omnipotency, the qudra of Allah ta'ala. And the undivided unity, the tawheed. And it is this admission, this confirmation, it is this confession which came so naturally to man that has been included in man's fitrah, in the fitrah of man, into the natural disposition of man, and which also becomes the reason why no man, no human being can ever deny the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since it is in his seed, it is in his seed. Since it is naturally ingrained and embedded into his nature, into his constitution, and never parts from him except through personal rejection and denial. Therefore, every child that is born is born a Muslim, because he is born with this natural characteristic and this natural disposition within him. It is in his seed, as I have said, and therefore it is his parents and his environment. So every human being is born a believer, and it is their parents, it is their particular education and the environment in which they live that turns them into disbelievers. Immediately after bearing witness to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and admitting to Allah ta'ala being the creator and the cherisher and the sustainer of entire creation, the command of Allah ta'ala was heard for humanity to perform sijda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Now you listen to this part. Man has said, Bala, qalu bala, shahidana, we accept and we confirm and we confess, oh Allah, you are one and you are our creator, our maker, and you are our cherisher and sustainer. Mankind has confirmed this. Immediately thereafter, the command goes out from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole of humanity to make sujood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All those who were to the right side of Adam alayhi salam went into prostration immediately, and all those on the left side of Adam alayhi salam remained standing, none of them going into sujood at this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After prostrating to Allah ta'ala, mankind rose up again from sujood. Then, following on the first command, a second command of Allah Ta'ala was heard for mankind to go into sujood, into prostration again to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Thereupon, some of those on the right side of Adam Alayhi Salaam performed the sujood, while some did not. And the same appeared to take place on the left side of Adam alayhi salam. Brothers, you must understand this correctly. All the believers were on the right side of Adam alayhi salam, and all the disbelievers were on the left side of Nabi Adam alayhi salam. When Allah Ta'ala's first command went for them to prostrate, all those on the right for the first sujood, all on the right performed sujood, all on the left did not perform sujood. When the second command went for all of mankind to perform sujood, on the right and on the left, there were those who performed sujood and there were those who did not perform sujood. This means that when the second command to prostrate to Allah Ta'ala was given, some chose to obey out of entire humanity, some chose to obey, and some chose to ignore the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I am using the word some in its broadest sense, meaning countless millions and billions of people obeyed this directive of Allah Ta'ala, while innumerable, inestimable millions of people disobeyed this command to make sujood of Allah Ta'ala. This action of the posterity of Adam alayhi salam amazed and even stunned Adam alayhi salam. He was bewildered by this response of his children amassed in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. Why did they react in this way? Adam alayhi salam is now wondering, why did they, his children, react in this way after testifying and admitting to and confirming and confessing to the glory and unity of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? He was highly disturbed and puzzled by this scene enacted in his presence before him. And so he asked Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, O my Rabb, O my Sustainer, I am amazed and I am astonished by what I have just seen. O Allah, what is the meaning of all those to my right going into prostration to you at the first command, and some refraining from doing so at your second command? Then on my left side, I noticed none going into prostration at your first command, but some going into sujood at your second command, and some refraining from doing so. O Allah, what is the meaning and the wisdom of such action on the part of man, O Allah? Brothers, if you've got this picture right, here is the explanation coming up as given by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Again, I say Allah doesn't need to give explanation, but Adam alayhi salam is being taught. He is receiving knowledge and ilm from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So here it is, this quandary and this situation whereby Adam alayhi salam is completely perplexed by what he has seen. You have understood, I hope, exactly what happened there. First command of Allah Ta'ala, mankind make sujood to me. On the right, everybody makes sujood. On the left, nobody makes sujood. On the right, principally, are all the believers. On the left, are all the disbelievers. On the right, in the first saf, are all the prophets. On the left, in the first saf, are all the oppressors, the unjust leaders. Second command to make sujood goes out from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Look, in our salah we have two sujoods that we make, one after the other. We make one ruku, one qiyam, one ruku, but two sujoods. Now you can, again, you work it out for yourself, the significance of making two sujoods. You also know that when the malaikas were commanded by Allah Ta'ala to perform sujood of Adam alayhi salam, they performed one sijda, and when they arose from the sijda and saw Iblis still, Shaitan still standing, they immediately went for a second time into sijda. Now here again you see the significance of two sujoods to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But this is what happens. In the first, everybody on the right makes sujood, nobody on the left makes sujood. But on the second command, it is strange. Adam alayhi salam finds it very strange that on the right hand side, where is supposed to be all the believers, on the second command, many go down into sujood, but there are many who do not go into sujood. On the left hand side, surprisingly, where are supposed to be all the disbelievers, on the second command, the same pattern takes place. There are many who do not go into sijda, but there are many, a number of them, who also go into sijda. Now, this is what throws Adam alayhi salam completely off balance.
because it is not the way he thought it would occur, that it would happen. Surprised, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the meaning of this? Now listen to that. What Allah ta'ala reveals to him in a reply. In this way we will understand ourselves better, we will understand the meaning of life better, and we will understand what our objective should be in life. What is our purpose? The reply of Allah ta'ala, as revealed to Adam alayhi salam, was the following. O Adam, those of mankind who performed prostration, who performed sujood at my first and second command, those who perform sujood to me at my first and second command, are they who will live as believers and die as believers. They will live as Muslimin and Mu'mineen, and they will die as Muslimin and Mu'mineen. Now these were all on the right hand side, which I told you earlier. Adam alayhi salam, upon inquiry, was informed that they are all believers on his right hand side. Now it was only on the right hand side that in the first command of sujood of Allah Ta'ala and on the second command went into sujood. All of them were on the right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to Adam alayhi salam, those who perform sujood on my first command and on my second command, all of them, they will live as Muslimin, Mu'mineen, and die as Muslimin, Mu'mineen. Alright, that we've got. Now the next category. Those, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who did not perform prostration at my first and second command, this is the second category, they were amongst them those who, these are all on the left hand side. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Adam, those who did not perform prostration at my first and my second command, are they who will live as disbelievers and they will die as disbelievers. They will be the kafirin, they will live as kafirin and they will die as kafirin. That's the second category. Here's the third category. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those of mankind who performed prostration at my first command but did not do so during my second command. In other words, they refrained from performing sujood to me on my second command. Are they who will live as believers, but they will die as disbelievers? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and save us from such an end, that we live as